Chalanada Vakupadana Gosami Srila Prabhupada Kijaya Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijaya Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda Kijaya Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijaya Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Vaida Gadatha Shri Vasili Gaur Bhakta Vrindikajaya Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopagopada Sayam Kun Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijaya Vrindavanam Kijaya Maturadam Kijaya Jagannatha Swami Kijaya Yamuna Maya Kijaya Shimari Lassi Devi Gajai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Gajai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bhakti. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay. So, Om Ganatha Virandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Medinam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So today is the glorious appearance day of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And it's also a fast half day. So if anyone is going to take prasadam in the morning because we're visiting houses, they should just take fruit. Nobody should take anything more solid than fruit this morning. And normally I wouldn't even take fruit, but because we're visiting people, there's preaching. If you don't accept anything, then it's sort of like an insult to people. So it's reciprocation is part of preaching. So anyway, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of course, is the spiritual master of Srila Gaura Kishoredas Babaji Maharaj, is the spiritual master of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is the spiritual master of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a Nitya Siddha devotee. Nitya Siddha means eternally liberated, coming from the spiritual world. Also, Shaktivesh Avatar, that means he's empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a Jiva soul to carry out a specific mission on the Earth planet. And the one interesting thing about Bhaktivinoda Thakur is that he was a householder. So generally, people are thinking gurus should be sannyasis. Actually, the tradition in India is that gurus would be householders. That's the tradition. I mean, the ancient tradition. Modern tradition is something different. But the ancient tradition is that the disciple, Brahmachari Gurukule Vasandanta Gurohitam, the disciple would go to live in the ashram of the spiritual master, and the spiritual master would have a wife, too, who would take care of the disciple's needs. Like you see in the case of Lord Ramchandra, he went to the ashram of Vasishtha Muni, and he got taken care of by Vasishtha Muni's wife. And in the case of Krishna, he went to the ashram of Sandapani Muni, and he got taken care of by Sandapani Muni's wife, and also brought back Sandapani Muni's son from the dead. That was his guru dakshin. Nice guru dakshin. So anyway, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, in the modern day and age, sannyasis get all the attention, but basically, the statement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Kiva Vipra Kiva Nyasi Shudukena Noi Ye Krishna Tattva Veda Say Guru Hoy. That if one knows the science of Krishna, it doesn't matter whether he is a Vipra, type of Brahmin, sannyasi, Kiva Vipra Kiva Nyasi, or even from a Shudra family. Ye Krishna Tattva Veta, if he knows the Tattva, that means the essence of Krishna consciousness, the truth, then say Guru Hoy, he can become Guru. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of course, was one of the greatest gurus. So he was born on September 2nd. Of course, this is not September 2nd, but we're following the Vaishnava calendar as far as his appearance day is concerned, which means that every year the Vaishnava holidays are on a different day related to the Western calendar. September 2nd, 1838, on a Sunday, so today's Sunday, in a place called Biranagara in Nadia. That's a district that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also appeared. And he was the seventh son of a man named Raja Krishnananda Datta, who was a great devotee of Lord Nityananda. He's the grandson of Madan Mohan and the third son of his godfather, Ananda Chandra. Actually, one of his names was Adaitya Kulera Prahlad. In other words, he was called Prahlad in the family of demons. So he was very similar to that, because Vaishnavism was not very much respected in his family On his mother's side, there was no respect for Vaishnavism at all. They were like Shaivites or others. And he was named Kedaranatha by his godfather. That's it. Of course, a name of Lord Shiva. So, actually, he spent his childhood in a place called Birnaga, got his elementary school, elementary education, the primary school started by his grandmother, attended an English school in Krishnanagara, and his older brother died unexpectedly of cholera when he was 11 years old. His father passed away, and everything was taken away from him through intrigue and different business dealings by his family. The family fell into great poverty when he was about 11 years old. So his mother arranged for marriage for him when he was 12. And his wife was?
5.
Of course, they didn't live together. Actually, there's a reason for that, and it's actually a good reason, that people know when they're, 12, 13, before they get to puberty, that this is going to be my husband, this is going to be my wife. So there's not that shopping around stuff you get now. Isn't it? Shopping around. Even on, remember the Vaishnav is vaishnavmarriage.com. That's a modern day version of the Swayamvara, You compete by offering money. It's a Vaisha version. Anyway, let's see. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakura's uncle, who had mastered British education, he schooled Bhaktivinoda Thakura in his home in Calcutta. This is why Bhaktivinoda Thakura actually learned English very well. Let's see. And even by 13, he was helping a great literary person in Calcutta, his name was Kashi Prasad, in judging manuscripts and editing them, even at like 12 and 13. So there's a whole history. He became ill at different points, very, very difficult childhood. He became ill, family members died, and there was even a Muslim there who predicted that Bhaktivinoda Thakur would become recognized as a great devotee of Lord Krishna. He was what we call a soothsayer or a mystic. So at 18, he entered the university, and he was writing extensively in English and Bengali, and his essays were published in local journals. He studied English literature at that time and taught speech-making to a person who later became known as a great orator in the British Parliament. He's only 18 or 19. He was a real genius. He composed in 1857 a two-part English epic poem entitled The Poriad. An epic poem is like a long poem. Like the Ramayana is an epic poem. It's actually the world's longest epic poem. And in this book, he described Alexander the Great, who came to India, actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he was in the university, became very much attracted to Christian theology, and he found it much more interesting than Hindu monism or Hindu polytheism. In other words, he was a monotheist. He spent many hours comparing the writings of different English authors like Channing, Theodore, Parker, Emerson, and Newman. He gave lectures at the British Indian Society. I'm such an educated person on the evolution of matter through the material mode of goodness. And let's see. So he went to visit his grandfather's paternal grandfather when he got older, after his village got destroyed and everything like that. And his name was Rajabalabha Dutt. And he was living as an ascetic in the Orissan countryside. So when he visited him, he actually told Bhaktivinoda Thakur to visit all the holy places and later on preach Krishna consciousness. So at a particular time, he was looking for a copy of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was the Chaitanya Charitamrita that actually enabled him to transfer his faith from the Christian theology to the Vaishnava theology. So as he read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, his faith increased tremendously in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, he's an interested devotee. This is a pastime. We should understand that. And he published the song about Lord Chaitanya known as Satchidananda Prema Lankara. And in 1869, he was serving as deputy magistrate under the government of Bengal. He delivered a speech on the Srimad Bhagavatam to a big congregation of prominent men from many parts of India and England. Then he was transferred as a magistrate, that means a judge, to Champarana, during which time his second son, Radhika Prasad, was born. And in Champarana, people used to worship a ghost in a banyan tree, which had the power to influence the mind of the local judge to decide in favor of the person who was worshiping the tree. It's pretty good. So he engaged, this is a famous story, he engaged the father of a famous girl scholar to read Srimad Bhagavatam under the tree, and after 1 month, the tree crashed to the ground. And many people became faithful towards the Srimad Bhagavatam. Then he went to Jagannath Puri. So what happened near Jagannath Puri, near the capital of Orissa, which is Bhubaneswar, in the town of Kama of Nala, there was a great yogi named Bhishikasena. And this Bhishikasena could lean into a fire, then, you know, he didn't get burnt, and then he would rock back and forth into the fire and produce fire from his head. And he had two companions named Brahma and Shiva. I guess he was a guna avatar. He claimed to be Mahavishnu. And the kings of Orissa were under his control, and they were providing funds for construction of a temple, and they also sent him many women with whom he enjoyed Rasalila pastimes. And also, he declared that he would drive the British away from Orissa and he himself would become the king. And he circulated all these statements around Orissa. The British didn't like this. And they drew up arrest orders, but nobody in Orissa had the courage to act upon these orders. So they all were afraid of him. So then the district commissioner for Orissa requested Bhaktivinoda Thakur to bring him to justice. Bhaktivinoda Thakur went to him, this Bhishikasena, and Bhishikasena showed some powers and informed Bhaktivinoda Thakur that he knew well who he was and his mission, but that since he, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, was a devotee, he better not interfere with him. He said, "You're my devotee. I recognize you." And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, being very much a gentleman, he said, "Well, you've accomplished a lot in yoga, and please come to Jagannath Puri to take darshan of Lord Jagannath." And this yogi said, "Why should I come to Lord Jagannath to see Lord Jagannath? He's only a piece of wood. I am the supreme in person." And so when he said that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur became instantly furious and arrested the rogue and brought him to Puri and threw him into jail, where he was guarded by 36 Muslim constables and 72 policemen. Day and night. Brahma and Shiva avoided arrest by claiming they had been forced by him to do as he had done. So they had an excuse. Brahma and Shiva. I don't know. But later on they were arrested, actually. And then the trial lasted for 18 days, and thousands of people gathered outside of the courtroom, you know, picketing and demanding the release of God. Actually, you've seen that in India recently. There were people who could, there was a man who was convicted, and people were just like outside the courtroom rioting and everything.
Let God go. Let God
go. Yeah. He's God. And so this yogi was actually utilizing his mystic powers to torture the children of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself. So on the sixth day of the trial, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's second daughter became very ill and nearly died, but in one day she completely recovered. Bhaktivinoda Thakur knew it was the power of the yogi, and his wife said, you know, you got to stop this, you know, let the yogi go, you know, our children are more important. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, this is a quote, "Let us all die, but this rascal must be punished." And the court, the yogi the next day announced that he had shown his power, would show much more. He suggested that Bhaktivinoda Thakur should release him at once or face worse miseries. And on the last day of the trial, Bhaktivinoda Thakur became so ill from high fever and suffered exactly as his daughter had done for the whole day. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur dragged himself into court to pronounce the man guilty and sentenced him only to 18 months. Because the only law that he had broken was political conspiracy. You know, there is no law in India, you can't be God. I don't think there's a law anywhere. So, you know, he couldn't convict him of being God, so it had to be political conspiracy under the British law, of course. And when this sentence was being pronounced, one Englishman, a doctor, Dr. Walker, cut off all the yogi's hair, and the yogi was actually drawing his power from the hair. And then the yogi fell down, and then after 3 months, he actually took poison and died because he lost all his power. You know, this keeping power in the hair reminds me of the story in the Bible. They have this Samson. Anyone's heard of this story? Samson and Delilah. There was this guy, I guess, whatever he was. He was a real strong man. He kept all his power in his hair. And the Philistines, the Palestinians, still they were fighting thousands of years ago. They're still fighting now. They actually had a plan how to make him powerless. Cut off his hair, but the only way they cut off his hair was getting close to him to cut off his hair. So they enlisted the help of a young girl called Delilah. You ever heard of this story?
No.
And she came up to him and said, "I love you." And when he wasn't looking, she cut off his hair, and then he was made powerless. Later on, you know, when he was in jail, his hair came back and he was smashed the whole palace. You remember that story? Nobody remembers this story. Anyway.
Goliath, right?
No, that wasn't Goliath. No. Samson. Goliath was a demon. This guy was a good guy.
No, didn't Samson fight Goliath?
No, 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 it's David. David. You got the wrong story. And so the yogis, they sometimes keep the power in the hair. So anyway, he showed his great Krishna consciousness by doing that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and about yogis. So then 1877, he had another son, Virata Prasada, and he's naming basically most of his sons with the name Prasada, which means mercy. Doesn't mean Prasadam. And then in about 1878, he took Pancharatrika initiation from Bipini Vihari Goswami, which is interesting because actually his guru, his substantial guru, was Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And Jagannath Das, you know, you may ask, but Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj is his Siksha guru. So our line is actually a Siksha line. So Siksha is considered more important than Diksha. That's why all of us are connected directly to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, through his Siksha. He's the predominant instructor for all of us. And we may have other Diksha gurus, but Siksha is more important than Diksha. So Bipini Vihari Goswami was from a line of spiritual masters, a bona fide line from the Janava Devi, who is the wife of Lord Nityananda. Then his seventh son, Lali Prasad, appeared. And in 1881, Bhaktivinoda Thakur began publishing a Vaishnava journal named Sajjana Toshini. Then he visited Mathura and Vrindavan in 1866. There he met Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, who moved there every 6 months between Navadvip and Vrindavan. So meeting him, Bhaktivinoda Thakur accepted him as his eternally worshipable Siksha Guru. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur also dealt with a gang of dacoits in Vrindavan known as the Kanjaharis, who robbed and killed pilgrims. Let's see. Well, there's a lot of information if we don't have time for everything. In 1886, Bhaktivinoda Thakur published the edition of the Bhagavad Gita with a Sanskrit commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which he translated into Bengali. Let's see. All right. At Sri Rampur, later on, he composed and published his masterly writing, Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, a very important book. And in that book, actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur tells us how to respect other religions. And when we go to other religious ceremonies, we should see them worshiping the same God, but just in a different way culturally than we're worshiping. And in addition to that, Chaitanya Shikshamrita teaches us that we all have material needs as well as spiritual needs. And the material needs have to be taken care of in order to progress in a gradual way in Krishna consciousness without falling down. And that's the same thing Prabhupada points out in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the story of Gajendra Mokshana, where Gajendra the elephant is fighting this crocodile in the water, and Prabhupada comments because he's losing the fight, that is, the elephant's losing the fight. Prabhupada comments that because Gajendra the elephant was not in his proper medium, therefore he was getting weak. Mm. And the crocodile was in his proper medium. And Prabhupada said every devotee should be in the proper situation in terms of varna and ashram in order to fight maya for one's whole life. You know, the question was raised the other day. A devotee asked me the question, what about surrender? Shouldn't we just surrender and do whatever we're asked to do? And I said, that's good training in the beginning of... Remember I answered the question?
Yes,
that's good training in the beginning of Krishna consciousness. That, you know, someone's trained in the brahmacharya ashram, brahmachari guru kule vasantanta guru oritam, in obedience. It's called obedience training. Mm. But long-term, if one wants to be stable and steady in devotional service, one has to be engaged according to one's psychophysical nature, doing something you'd like to do for Krishna. Otherwise, you won't remain stable. So, let's see. Oh, yeah. And then, of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur discovered the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had studied all the ancient records, and he was sitting in Navadvip. He wasn't in Godramdvip. You know, so many devotees tell the story that he was in his house in Godramdvip, but he was in Navadvip in a dhamshala. Navadvip. And he was looking out, you know, you hear the story sometimes, devotees say it's Godramdvip, but no, it's Navadvip. He was in Navadvip and he was looking out from the top of the Rani Dhamshala there, and he saw a light where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had appeared, and he went to that place the next day and he discovered there was a mound of tulsi trees in that place. And to verify that it was the appearance place of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he brought Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, being about 120 years old, was being carried around in a basket by his servant Bihari. And he jumped out of the basket when he came to that place and started dancing ecstatically in spite of being 120 years old. And he verified that that was the place of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. And here, there's a story about that. There was once upon a time, there was a boy who had a disease, and he told the boy to lie down at the birth site of Lord Chaitanya for the night, and the next day the boy was cured. So that's a way to cure yourself from a disease.
All right. The pandas would probably throw you out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's see. And in 1891, he took leave from government service to preach for 2 years. His base was Godrumdwipa, that's across the river, the Jilungi River from our place. And he used to visit all over and preach to all different organizations, in Krishnagar and other places. And then he went to Vrindavan again. And he celebrated Ekadasi with Jagannath Das Babaji, visited all the forests and holy places there, and gave lectures on the chanting of Hare Krishna, not on the intimate pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. So then he established the Gaura Vishnupriya Deities at the Yogapith. That means the place of appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he gave a lecture on his investigation into the whereabouts. In other words, that was the actual birth site of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In 1894, he completely retired at the age of 56. And everybody was opposed to that, the government authorities especially, because he was such a valuable person. And he stayed at Suravi Kunj and preached, and as well as revising his old writings. In 1896, he went to Tripura at the request of the king and preached about Harinam for 4 days. And everybody, many people surrendered and became Krishna conscious at that particular point. And let's see, in 1896, he also sent out a small booklet written in Sanskrit to Sri Gauranga Lila Smarana Mangalostram, which, with a commentary by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and he wrote an introduction to it called, in English, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, His Life and Precepts. And this book was actually distributed all over the world. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was basically, in the modern day and age, the first big book distributor. It was later found in McGill University in Canada. Gopal Krishnamurti actually found it there when he was in the university. He was studying in the university, and that's one of the things that made him Krishna conscious. It's interesting. Let's see. Okay. And then, as far as his daily life was concerned, he was very, very strict. He never went to any theater performances. Never. He didn't even allow a harmonium in kirtan. Mm-hmm. He was so strict. Never had any debts. So, his daily schedule is as follows. He would wake up. Actually, he would wake up at 10 o'clock in the night. He'd go to sleep at 8 o'clock, or not sleep. He'd rest at 8, get up at 10, work all night, and in the morning he would take a little milk and some rotis for breakfast, and then go to the court. And actually, he saw people in the morning, preach to people between like 8 and 8:30. He took a half hour nap somewhere in between. At 10 o'clock, the court began. At 1 o'clock, the court was finished, and he was such a efficient court justice that he did all the work in a half a day. And then he'd come home and bathe and refresh. At 2 o'clock, return to the office. 5 p.m., return and translate works from Sanskrit to Bengali. And then take his evening bath and meal of rice, a couple of rotis, and a half quart of milk. And that was it. And he always kept a watch. In those days, a watch meant a pocket watch, not a wrist watch. And he was very punctual. So devotees should learn from that. And I try to do that too. He was very charitable to the brahmanas and to every other caste, of course. Never showed any pride. And he never accepted gifts from anyone. He even declined all the honors and titles that were offered to him by the government on the grounds that they may stand against his mission in life. He was very strict in moral principles, avoided luxurious life. He would not even chew betel. Remember in Bengal, everybody chewed betel. He disliked theaters because they were frequented by public women. I mean, unchaste women, not necessarily prostitutes. He spoke Bengali, Sanskrit, English, Latin, Urdu, Persian, and Orient. Oh. And he started writing books, as we mentioned before, at age 12 and continued turning out a profuse number of volumes up until his departure from this world. He's perhaps the most prolific author that we have in our history, you know. And not only books, but also songs, and many song books that he composed. I mean, he was a musician, he was a poet. Everything he wrote works in English, too. That song, Sharagrahi Vaishnav. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, we're very proud to have him or be members of his disciplic succession. Mm. He's a great personality. So, anybody have any questions about Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Questions?
Why did they have to go through so many difficulties in life? Why isn't it?
Because that's proves that he's a hero. It's just like glorifies the devotee. Like Prabhupada went through so many difficulties. You find this is a common thread in the lives of devotees, you know, great devotees. Those who were not so great didn't have to go through so many difficulties. I didn't go through any difficulties. Anyway, so, but great devotees, no, Krishna does that to glorify the devotee's determination. Mm. And also you should understand that because these devotees are absorbed in Krishna, what you would perceive as a difficulty, those things are not difficulties for them, because they're on a higher level. You know, they're absorbed in Krishna. They just take those difficulties as challenges and opportunities rather than something that's, you know, discouraging or getting angry at the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's a pure devotee. You know, they just see that Krishna is sending these. And also they see the difficulties being sent by Krishna. And therefore you have someone like Queen Kunti who is asking for more difficulties. She said, you know, tatra tatra, Jagat Guru. Again and again send these difficulties. So apunar vavadarshanam. So that we will not see repeated birth and death in this material world. So a pure devotee not only accepts the difficulties, sometimes they ask for more difficulties. Prabhupada said we should not pray like that. Because Prabhupada said the material world is miserable enough as it is. You know, so don't say, my dear Krishna, send me difficulties so I can remember you. I pray the opposite. Please, Krishna, don't send difficulties so I can remember you. So, yeah, there's so many instances in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life. I mean, there was poverty, there was disease, his first wife died, and so many challenges that he had. But there's no instance of him being discouraged, depressed, always enthusiastic. Utsahan nishtya dharyat tata karma pavartanat. You know that verse? No? You should learn. Upadesham rita. You understand? Utsahan, enthusiasm. Nishtya, patience, determination. Dharyat, he's fixed. Tat tat karma pavartanat, always following the proper activities. Tat tat karma pavartanat. Sangos jagat. What does that mean? Giving up bad associations. Giving up sangha. Satovrite, following the footsteps of the great devotees. Prasidyati. Sabirvakti, prasidyati. That means this way you make advancement. These are the positive aspects, and then. Of course, then you got the negative stuff, you know, ajahara, prayasa, shapa, japa, niyamagraha, janasangas. So it's interesting, you have this janasangas there in what you should avoid, and even in the positive verse, you have avoiding bad association. Sangas jagat, same thing. Sangas jagat, janasangas, you know, as things you should avoid are in both verses. So maybe that's extremely important if it's reiterated in both verses, right? Avoiding bad association. Bad association is actually people attached to material things, or not devotees, people opposed to Krishna consciousness, and people attached to people who are attached to material things. That's even more dangerous, Lord Chaitanya states, to be attached to people who are attached to material things. The reason for that is because if you see someone who's attached to material things, you know, it's easy to say, well, you're just a materialist. But if someone's attached to a person who's attached to material things, that person may not be apparently a materialist. So you have to avoid those who are attached to material people who are attached. Interesting. Sangus Tyagat Sato Vrite. Sabir Bhakti Prasadyati. Yeah. Very important verse. This is from the Nectar of Instruction. So you should study that. You're a Brahmin. Brahmani, so you should study these things, you know. Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion. Isopanishad is important, too. When I joined the movement, we used to recite the Isopanishad every morning. That was our Mangalarti. We didn't know the Guru Pashtika at that time. It was all like, Om Purnamada Purnamida, you know, like that. We had kirtan to the Isopanishad. So, any other questions? Yes. Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Can we say that we were originally all pure souls, and then
we are still pure souls.
Yeah, and after coming in contact with these three modes and being conditioned by them, then we got all polluted.
The soul never gets polluted.
I mean, the material body.
Yeah, the soul never gets polluted. It's just that we think we're connected. You know, the soul is always pure. But because of the contamination of this material world, the soul becomes an illusion, thinking it's not pure, thinking it's part of the material world. It's just like, I often give the example of that film, The Matrix. You understand?
Neo.
He's the one.
He's
the one. Yeah. Yeah, N-E-O. Yeah, you know, it's backwards. Well, anyway, it's interesting. So, in this film, they showed someone, although they showed everybody was absorbed in illusion because they were connected to a computer in virtual reality. Mm-hmm. Virtual reality means basically that people are connected, just like we're connected. I mean, for example, in this particular film, they had people were plugged into the back of their heads. You know, the nervous system, the brain was connected to the computer system. But it's the same for us, because instead of being plugged in the back of our heads, we're plugged in. Actually, the optic nerve does go to the back of the head. That's true. And so we're plugged in, you know, these different senses, the eyes, nose, the ears, the tongue. They're plugged into the brain, just like in this film, right? And we're receiving all our information from this stuff that's plugged, the senses that are plugged into the brain. And we're perceiving things being filtered through these senses. And the senses and the brain and the mind are influenced by the three modes of material nature. So all that information being filtered, first from the senses, then the brain, then the mind, makes its way to the soul. So you got several filters there. And the soul is perceiving this filtered information and thinking it to be reality. Just like in the Matrix. So then you take the, what is it, the red or the blue pill was the one? I forget. Anyway, then you take the red prasadam, the chili peppers, offered to Krishna. And then it clears you up, you know. Then you begin to see reality. Just like Krishna says in the Gita, when it's like the sun rising in the morning, when one is enlightened by the knowledge, then it's like the sun rising in the morning. So gradually, the illusion starts to dispel, like the fog, Nihara Bhaskara. Anyway, that's also a description in the Bhagavatam, that when the sun comes up in the morning, burns off the fog, and gradually you begin to see things. Wow. Otherwise you're just seeing fog. Mm. I mean, I've had that experience in India. Sometimes during the foggy season, this January actually, January, you get in a car and you're trying to go to Delhi and all you see is fog in front of you. Really, I mean, it's this close, you can't see anything even this far away. And the guy still keeps driving the car. It really makes you dependent on Krishna, doesn't it? So that's really what we're, the situation we're in right now. Because we desire to forget Krishna, then we get put in illusion. It's just like if you desire to go see a movie, then you get put into the illusion of the movie.
Voluntary illusion.
Yeah. I mean, you say, you pay for the movie, you say, I'd like to go to see this movie, and you go to see this movie, and for the next 3 hours, or 2 hours, or however long, 90 minutes, whatever, maybe less, then you're put into illusion. And you may even be angry that someone brought you to the movies. But you're stuck there for an hour, 2 hours. And then when you get out, actually, I experienced that when I was young, because we went to the movies all the time. When you get out and you're in the sun, it's just like, huh? Where am I? You ever experience that when you get to the movies? You know, it's real dark inside. And you go, you have a while adjusting yourself back to reality again. So anyway, so right now we're in a movie that's being projected upon our senses and everything like that. And actually, we're not in this world. We're transcendental. But the body's here. And because the body is here, it's, you know, this is reality. It's not something that's unreal. But the body is here, and we're thinking we're here because of this connection between, which is the subtle body. The subtle body is the connection between the gross body and the soul. You know, mind, intelligence, and false ego. The gross body is Pancha Mahabhuta, you know, the five gross elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. And so because of that connection, we're thinking we're here in this room. And we are not. We're not in this room.
No.
No.
Where are we?
We're a spirit soul that somehow or other connected.
It's a movie. It's a movie.
It's a movie. You know, it's actually a complete movie. Like a, they used to talk about how you could have smell-o-vision, you know. You ever hear about that before?
No.
Like you go to a movie. Sometimes in the movies, actually, they do spray something.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Used to vibrate the seats.
Yeah, the seats vibrate and spray. You know, some smell, you know.
Sometimes you wear 3D glasses and you see that the mouse and all thing coming to you. They're going to bite you and you scare and all that.
The 4D and the 5D.
One time I went to Disney World with Jayapataka Maharaj. We were on a date. So, no, he was going to see, you know, different rides from Mayapur. And I said, take me with you. Treat me, Maharaj. So we went into this one ride where not only do you put on these glasses, but the whole cabin shifts from side to side. I was getting ready to throw up, you know, because of that. I had to just take the glasses off, you know, because I was getting nauseous, but it, you know, really wasn't a problem. So it's the same thing in this world. We're getting nauseous or attracted or feeling pain. But the pure devotee, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he realizes that it's just an illusion. The connection is an illusion. Not that the material world's illusion.
He took the blue pill.
Yeah. Well, he didn't have to take any pills. He's always detached. The material world is not an illusion. It's just our connection to it. Or thinking that we are actually part of this material world.
The blue pill is the Krishna pill.
Yeah. So as you become Krishna conscious, and because the reason we're in illusion is because we paid the ticket to go to the movie theater, you know, so to speak. We didn't like the illusion outside. Just like in India, for example, India produces more films than any other country in the world. And the theaters are full all the time. Not very expensive, actually, a few rupees to get in. Because sometimes the life is so difficult. People want to go to a different life. So because we didn't like Krishna, our life would have been too difficult for us serving Krishna. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you don't like someone, if you want to be the center, it's really not pleasant to serve them. So Krishna said, all right, go to the material world. And you have this illusion. Krishna sent us to the movie theater, the smell-o-vision, you know, touch-o-vision, you know.
Suffer-o-vision.
See how you like it. See how you like it. And we're so attached that, just like someone in the movies, sometimes the women, they cry, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
In the movies, they go, ooh! I see it. Haven't you seen that?
The movies. You mean the women in the movie? Or the women in the audience?
Women in the audience. They're crying because it's some love story, yeah. And both the lovers have killed each other, like Romeo and Juliet.
You don't need to scream.
And they're so much absorbed in the illusion. And then if you try, you know, you try to get them out of the illusion, and you say, actually, the movie ends like this. They say, you're ruining the whole movie. Isn't it? So if you tell someone that, you know, someday you got to die, you know, that you're not the body, don't ruin it for me. You know, that's what happened with my brother. Mm-hmm. I tried to preach to him, my younger brother, Chotabai. So I tried to preach to him, and he said, don't spoil it for me. He said, ignorance is bliss. That was his exact expression. He said, don't spoil my life. So, you know, sometimes we do spoil people's lives. Isn't it? You tell them about, you know, this is the way the movie ends. Right? It ends with death. Well, we don't. Even my mother. You know, I talked to her, I said, Mother, you know, one day we have to leave this body. She says, we don't talk like that in our family. It's the same thing, isn't it? You know. The movie, it's the same thing. You'd use that example. If you don't know about The Matrix, at least use the movie example. You can imagine you're sitting next to someone and say, I know who did it, the butler did it. They get angry with you. You spoil the whole movie for them.
Yeah.
Actually, even they call that, when they write movie reviews, they call that spoilers.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Yeah, as a reviewer say, attention, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
You ever seen that?
Yeah.
So we spoil it for people. We should market ourselves. Attention, spoiler alert. Alright. Actually, we should have a push button, Julie. I didn't want to go too late this morning. So anyway, today, of course, we have initiation, which is very auspicious to have, on Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance. It's very auspicious to be initiated today. So later on, there's initiation in the temple. Okay, all glories to the Bhagavad, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gijaya, and now we'll have Pushpanjali. So the Prabhupada, Gijaya. Here's everybody in the room. Do you have a songbook for Pushpanjali? Yeah, you know, the Mangalacharna.